Welcome to the Hallelujah House, a home for Christian creatives. It's in the living room where you can get comfortable and listen in as childhood friends Liz Hammond and Tammy Carter Adams discuss the latest faith-based podcast. So grab a cup of coffee, get comfortable, kick off your shoes, and get ready to join in on the conversation.
Welcome to the living room at the Hallelujah House. This is Tammy Carter Adams, and Liz is not going to be with me today again. Eventually, we're going to get our schedules right, but just bear with me and come on in, get comfortable, and keep me company today. We're going to continue with the living water, the message that I taped in the last podcast. And if you have not listened to that, I'm just going to give you a brief synopsis of what it was about. It was titled Water, Water, and More Water. And I discussed that how God had convicted me during the holiday season that I had not spent time with him in relationship. And I was chasing after the mirages of the holiday season, right? And not spending time with the living water. And so my word for the year became hydrate, to remind myself that to spend time with Jesus every day and not just read a devotion. I know that's good, but we as Christians are called to pick what's best, right? To be intentional and to maybe use the devotional scripture to dive into the word and read the whole chapter and just like find that verse that just kind of seems highlighted for me within the chapter, journal it, and then kind of let the Bible take you on your journey that day for what the Lord wants to speak to you about, and be still and meditate on his word and allow and digest it and allow it to work its way into your heart and your mind. And then throughout the day, throughout my day, I try to meditate on that word that God gave me that morning and be prayerful with it as I'm doing mundane tasks. And I want to encourage you guys to do that. But today we're going to continue and we're going to talk about because I will tell you why I'm continuing this. I didn't think I was going to continue water. But what happened was I after this aired, my daughter got sick and I spent a week home with her with this nasty watery cough that she had. And I'm not saying that that was one of the water things God gave to me. But after she got done, I flew to Virginia because my parents had gotten sick as well. And I took care of them. The first night I laid down in the bed in my bedroom and I look up and the whole roof was sliced open from water damage. The next morning I go downstairs and I tell mom and dad casually that, you know, your roof is leaking. They had no idea. I thought they knew. And so the roofers came out and fixed it for us. And I kind of packed that away and thinking, wow, that's weird. Because in my last podcast, if you haven't heard this, I talk about all the different occurrences that water showed up in my life physically. So I started to pray about that. And coincidentally, but not, my Bible study led me to the woman at the well. And I started to realize that was what God was telling me, is that he was convicting me of not spending time at the well, filling myself with the living water. And so I did a podcast on that. And then, you know, now here after the podcast airs, once again, water shows up in my material world. And after I take care of my parents and they got better, I got on a plane, came back to Orlando. That first night home, I open up the shower, step on the mat, and it's thick with water. And I look up and the ceiling in my bathroom is leaking and it's dripping. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So I took it to prayer again and went back to the woman at the well and I revisited the passage. And I realized that God was telling me, you're not done yet. There are more things I want to tell you about spiritual dehydration. So that's where we're going to focus today. So I want to start in prayer and then we can pick up where we left off. Okay. Father God, we thank you so much today. And we invite you to come speak to us, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that all the words that I say today are your words, not my own. I pray this is the message that you want to deliver and it's delivered clearly. And I pray, Lord, for those that are receiving this message, that it ends up in the hands of those who need it. And I pray, Lord, that that they digest it and they allow it to transform their heart, Lord, and give them a desire to spend time in your word and with you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that this goes smoothly. And I pray, Lord, that you bless this podcast because you know the obstacles we've faced getting podcasts going on the Hallelujah House. But I pray you'll push it forward and bring the audience, Lord, as we put this out. We thank you so much for all of our blessings. We love you. And this is for you, not for us, and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so get comfortable, and we're just going to talk about, I want to start by talking about what happens to the body when we are dehydrated. Do you know the saying, the more water you drink, the more you want it. So the opposite is true, that the less you drink, the less, you know, the more dehydrated you become, the less you think about water. I don't know if you realize that, but your body becomes accustomed to dehydration. How sad it is that spiritually it's the same way. The more you spend time with the living water, filling yourself with the living water, Jesus, then the more time you want to spend with him, right? So I think everyone remembers the 80s, or some of you might be too young to remember the 80s, but let me just share with you in pop culture something we learned in the 80s. We learned about mirages and quicksand. I don't know why quicksand and mirages were such a big thing in movies and television that, you know, I remember being with my brother and my sister on our country roads, and we'd look ahead and see, and it was summertime, and the way the heat was hitting that hot asphalt, it appeared to be water ahead, and we knew it was a mirage because we had learned it from 80s pop culture. We knew the day we went to the desert, we had to bring a big jug of water. Are we going to be thirsty? And the same is true. We knew not to step in any mud because it could be quicksand, any mud puddle. You might sink and you might drown. So I don't know why that was a big thing, but it was. And I want to talk about mirages that I've chased in my life. I'm sure you've chased some in yours. And I want you to think right now of all the mirages maybe that you have chased in your life. And I'm going to admit some of mine, okay? So let's go through those. Mine are success, wealth, beauty, career, addictions. Yes, I've been addicted. Dependence on people and things rather than God. Have you, what mirages have you chased? And have you become accustomed to a parched soul? Do you know that when you chase the things of this world, when we chase after these mirages of the world, they just turn to dust? There is nothing of eternal value in dust. So I want to also tell you this. When you become seriously physically dehydrated, do you know what happens to your body? It affects every bit of your organs, every organ it affects, and you become confused. You become serious brain fog. The same is true when you're spiritually dehydrated. It's going to affect your family, your career, your decision making. You're not going to have discernment to understand what's the enemy's kingdom and what's God's kingdom. You're not going to be able to watch the news and be able to pinpoint. That's not truth. You're going to lack that serious discernment that we need in today's world. Don't you want to have discernment? So fill yourself up with the living water. There is a verse in Ephesians 4, I do believe, that speaks into this lacking of discernment. I'm going to start with Ephesians 4. I'm going to start with verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. So basically what God is saying, or what Paul is writing here, that we need to get a great knowledge of who God is, so that we can recognize when things are not truth in this world. And you don't want to be one that's tossed about. You see it now with today's youth. And I'm not picking on today's youth, but when you see, you know, kids today on college campuses being interviewed, and how they, you know, just have such little discernment, and they're just following whatever it is that pop culture is teaching them to believe. They're following Hollywood, you know, and that is not an, or, you know, Taylor Swift. There's another one. So that is not what we want to do. And I'm not against Taylor Swift, but are you Swifties out there? I know there's a lot of them. Don't understand it. But anyway, that's another topic for another time. I just want to encourage you, spend time with the Lord so that you'll be able to discern between evil and good. On 1 John, I'm going to go to 1 John 2:15-17. And it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, just like that mirage we talked about, along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." Some of you may be so dehydrated you don't know you need the living water. So let's do a little self-examination here. And let me be clear, there are times that I have experienced a drying up of my own fruit, you know, so this has been convicting to me to even prepare this for you. So, but let's all examine our hearts on these, okay? How do you know when you become spiritually dehydrated? One of the reasons you know is your fruit dries up. You know, the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I kind of want to go through each of these and let's self-examine what does it look like when the fruit is dried up, okay? So the first one is love. We love people less. We become unforgiving to those who've hurt us. We carry those grudges like a sack of burdens. And we cringe when we see, when we run into that person that we can't seem to forgive, or if their number shows up on the screen. We allow a hurt that someone's inflicted on us to affect how we treat other people. And let's start with joy. We lose our joy when we're not filled with living water because we become grumbling complainers, depressed, and anxious. And this type of depression and anxiousness is not a result of hormonal or brain imbalance or chemical balance in the brain, because there is a physical depression and anxiety, but this is spiritually inflicted. We feel sad and hopeless when things don't go our way. We become stuck in our emotions and let our emotions rule our thoughts. When we talk about peace, when our peace dries up, we cause divisions amongst people. We enjoy stirring the pot of drama in our homes. And long suffering, we become weak. We can't handle disappointments or hardships, and we tend to fall apart and self-medicate. Kindness, we become mean-spirited. We put people down and we're snappish. And goodness, we start to imagine bad things happening to that person. Or, you know, we start thinking serves them right? Okay, impatience. We're impatient. We want things now, and we want people to fall in line. And then self-control. Or gentleness, I'm sorry, gentleness. We criticize and become brash with our brutal honesty. And self-control, we lack control over our minds, our mouths, our thoughts, and our actions. So that covers the fruit, okay? This is a spiritual dehydration now. If you're not spending time with the living water, these are the things that can happen to you, spiritually speaking, to your character. Your fruit dries up. Okay, now we're going to talk about another thing that can happen when you don't spend time with the living water. You are more likely to become entangled in a bondage. And let's talk about different bondages. Of course, we always think of bondage as being just addiction, and, you know, not just addiction to chemicals or, you know, like drugs or alcohol or cigarettes or anything like that, but also porn, you know, and things of that nature. Those are the most common addictions we always talk about. How do you know when you become addicted to something? Because you think about it all the time. It pops up in your conversations. It's something that you can't wait to get home to. You're speeding home from work to get to that thing. And it's something that you try to hide from others, from your loved ones, those closest to you, but many times you can't hide it. We often talk about the closet addictions. We assume people don't know, but most likely they do. And because you lack spending time filling yourself with the living water, you have a temper and you have a proclivity to unforgiveness to those closest to you. So they feel the need that they cannot speak out. They feel the need to speak out to you and confront you on your addiction, but they feel like they can't because you'll close them off because you're lacking in your spiritual fruit as well. And it's those very people who, the people that like to hide it, who are the ones that always claim they have it together. Everything's going good. I have it together. And they think they're doing fine with their addiction until they're not. So don't be one of those that has an addiction. If you are struggling with something, I encourage you to go to those you love and go to your family members and those that you, a support group or some type of support, find support to surround you with so that you can get rid of this addiction and pray about it and ask God to release you from it. And in next podcast, we are going to be talking about releasing from bondage because God has given me this one already in my quiet time. So I can't wait to get into that one. So stay tuned for that. Okay. So we talk about addictions as being a bondage, but let's talk about other bondages, okay? Another bondage, did you know grief can be a bondage? We can get so comfortable with sadness, it can rob us of everything else. This happens when we're unwilling to fill ourselves with living water. Did you know God has a way of washing that sadness right out of you? He does. That's called joy. He fills you with joy. Some of us think of this as a way of keeping the memory of our loved one alive. You mamas out there, I can't imagine losing a child. And I have had people close to me, some of my closest people, lose a child. And my parents have, and my parents will tell you, there is no greater pain than losing a child, that they have not experienced any pain like that of losing a child. So I am compassionate. I understand. I mean, I can't understand on the level that you're experiencing this, but I want to encourage you, mama, that the one that has lost the child, that to spend time to living water, surrender that pain to God and fill yourself with the living water, and He will restore your joy. He will restore your joy. God, if there's anyone out there that has lost a child that is suffering from depression and sadness, and this become a gotten, the enemy has used this sadness to put her in bondage. I pray today that you release her from that bondage, Lord. Okay. There is a verse I want to read here. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. That's in John 16:23-24. So God is saying, if you ask it in Jesus' name, He will give it to you, that your joy will be restored. So ask Him to take this sadness from you. I just encourage that. As you can tell, I'm very passionate about people who are suffering from grief. Okay, if you're showing up and tilling your wife's grave and it's been years, you know, I have to ask you this too. What does this say about what you believe in the living Father when you're so focused on the dead? What does that say about your faith? And that's a hard question for me to ask today, but I want to put it out there. I want you to really think, what does it say? What does that say about your faith that you're going to invest your days, all days, morning? Now, there is a morning season. I am not saying if you're still in your morning season, so have it. You need to have that morning season. But I'm talking about once a legitimate morning season is over and this has become a habit, it is almost like a comfort to you to constantly feel this sadness because you feel a duty to the deceased. You do not have any duties to the deceased, okay? You need to move forward and live your life for the Lord, not for the deceased. Okay, moving on. Another bondage you could have is guilt. Did you know that guilt is not only toxic, but it's self-focused? If we're truly filling ourselves with the living water, our life is spent looking outward, not inward. And when you claim, I just can't forgive myself because my sins are so bad, what you're saying to Jesus, and we're entering our Easter season now, and I want you to visualize this. You're standing at the cross, and you're looking up at Jesus who is suffering, and he is about to say, it is finished. And right before he says, it is finished on that cross, you point to him and say, you know what? What you're doing is fine, but it's not enough to cover my sin. That's what you're saying. That is what you're saying when you don't release your guilt. You walk unashamed. There's no condemnation in Christ, the word says. So remember that when you have repented of your sin, move forward in faith that it is forgiven. Paul says we need to work out our faith with fear and trembling. If you're still holding on to guilt, do you have faith, true faith? Think about that. Work it out. Surrender your guilt to the Lord and fill yourself up with the living water. Did you know that when you fill yourself up, you're washing yourself from the self-absorption and pride, feeling guilt and saying, well, he just can't forgive this sin because I'm feeling so guilty. I just can't forgive myself. If you can't forgive yourself, that is kind of prideful because you're saying my sins are so big. Look, your sins are not that special. They're not that special. Trust me. Okay, the last bondage I'm going to talk about is the bondage of insecurity. And there are many more bondages, but I don't have time to go over all of them, okay? But I want to talk about, these are some things that I have witnessed people suffering from, or I've experienced them myself. So I want to release these to you in this message today. So the last bondage is the bondage of insecurity. Okay, here's a litmus test for insecurity. And I want you to ask yourself these questions. Do you get your feelings hurt really easily? Or do you often think, what about me? You know, that being insecure like that and asking yourself, what about me? And always feeling like people are leaving you out and everything is really a form of self-focus. And some of you may be thinking right now, well, you don't know my childhood. You don't know how my mother treated me or the abuse that I experienced. And no, I don't. I don't. You know, we've all had experiences in our childhood that probably could have made us very insecure. And I've gone through periods in my life that have been insecure. So I can speak into this, honestly. But when I started to realize that, you know, when I really focus on what Christ did on the cross for me, that he was willing to be jeered at, humiliated. You know, so I may not understand what you've gone through, but Christ does. Christ does. And he took your insecurity and put it on the cross. So if you're a believer, do you know that if you're a child of God, you're royalty? You're a daughter or son of the King. So fix your crown. Put that crown on your head and walk as a child of the King. You can do way more for the kingdom, walking in confidence of who you are and who God created you to be, than you can constantly asking, what about me? Okay, so pick up your sword, because your confidence needs to be rooted in who the Father is, not in who you are, okay? Your confidence comes from who your Father is, okay? And then it's through Him, the lens of Him, not self lens, okay? Through the lens of Him, you get your confidence in who He's created you to be. Going back to the story of the woman of the well, I'd like to read this passage from the story again. In John 4:11, the woman, Samaritan woman at the well, said to Him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water?" Verse 13, Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." He says, the water will become a spring. Think about a spring. A spring is living, it's moving, it's fresh, it's refreshing, it's clean. Think of a mountain stream. And then now think of stagnant water. It's sitting there, it's full of amoebas, it's disgusting, it gives you diarrhea, okay? That is the water of the world. But the living water is a spring. Now, what happens when you become the vessel of the living water? He fills you up. He quenches your thirst and your spiritual dehydration. He fills you up so that you're fulfilled spiritually. You're fulfilled so that you can go out and pour out unto other people. That's exactly why He wants to fill you. You're the vessel. This woman at the well was God's vessel. She said, "You don't have a vessel." She was wrong. He had her. He wanted to fill her with the living water. And He did. And what happened in the story? You'll see, if you haven't read this story, I encourage you to do so in John 4. She goes out and she tells everyone in the town, "Come and see that I found the Messiah." And because she proclaimed it to be the Messiah, they all came and followed her. And He was able to minister to the town, and many in the village became followers of Jesus. So she became the vessel she poured out into her town. Okay. And that's why we need to fill ourselves. That's why it's important to fill ourselves, so that our lives have eternal consequences. Who wants a life that we're chasing pleasures? We're chasing after that next good time. We're chasing after the things of the world and pop culture and filling ourselves constantly with Hollywood and the things that, these content makers tell us to think about, instead of filling ourselves with the living water and being able to pour out into other people. I want to stand before the Father one day. I don't know about you, but I want to stand in front of the Father one day, and I know that there are going to be things that He's going to reveal to me that I did wrong. I know that there are people that I could have ministered to and I chose not to. I know it. But I pray that there are going to be a lot of people in heaven that maybe I had ministered to. Maybe I had something to do. Maybe I planted a seed, right? Maybe I poured out on them. And I know you want the same thing. You want your life to matter. You want your life to have eternal consequences and matter for the kingdom of the Lord. It's so important. David writes this, and this is in Psalms 42:11. "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God." Does your soul thirst for the Lord? Is it because you haven't spent time getting to know who He is? Spend time with Him. Spend time with Him so that you thirst for Him. That's probably why David was called a man after God's own heart, because he thirsted for the Lord. He didn't like to displease the Lord. Maybe you're hearing this and have accepted God's gift of grace, would like to understand how to become an active believer in Christ. And I want to take a minute to explain the path to eternal life to you as we're about to celebrate Easter. There are many people who say, I believe. There is cultural Christian. There's a difference between cultural Christianity and true abiders, okay? The abiders are the ones that their faith is in action. Is your faith in action? You know, many people say, oh, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and he rose again, but their life doesn't reflect that. They don't spend time in the Word. They're not spending time getting to know who God is. They're not pouring out into other people. They're not moving forward in their calling. Everyone has a purpose. Once you become saved, you have a calling on your life. God says, go out therefore and preach the gospel. Your job is to go out and minister to people. So some of you may say, well, I don't know how to receive that gift of grace. So let's talk about that for a moment. Some believe that you say a believer's prayer and you're done. And that's I believe the believer's prayer is important, but I also believe it's become something that has hindered people from having a true relationship with the Father. Because I think many people growing up, like I did, you said the prayer and you were covered. I don't think it was explained to us that, no, you're turning away from sin. You are moving toward the Lord. You're going to pick up your cross and follow him, right? So I want to talk about the believer's prayer. That is a prayer where you say, Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and that you saved me from my sins and you rose again and you took on all my sins on the cross and I believe you and I want to follow you and I'm going to surrender my life to you. That's what you pray, okay? And just do it, you know, in your quiet time, get in your secret place. I call it my secret place. It's actually my studio space, but in my home. But that is my secret place where I go to the Lord every morning. Go to your secret place, wherever that might be, and just commune with the Lord and tell him that you believe and you want the gift of grace. Confess your sins. Confession is a big part of this. You confess it directly to the Father. You don't need to go to any man. You don't. You only need to go to God. Confess your sins. You may say, well, I don't remember all my sins. That's fine. You don't have to remember all your sins. Confess everything. Just say, I'm sorry for all that I've done to displease you. And I'm going to turn my life around. Repenting of your sins. Repentance means you're going to surrender those sins. You're going to confess them to the Lord. And you're going to turn around and try not to do them again. And you're going to fall. You're going to fall. Because we are all sinful people, right? But Christ took on the cross. He took your past sins, your future sins, and your present sins, right? All of it was laid on the cross. He was the perfect, perfect Lamb. He took on the sins of the world. He said, it is finished. Okay? So repent and turn away from that sin and move forward in your life. And start having a relationship with the Father. And how you do that is prayer, reading the Word, reading the Bible, and spending time in stillness in his presence, like we talked about earlier. I want you to know that Jesus took your sins, no matter what sin you've committed. Some of you may be thinking, I'm too bad to be cleansed. I'm not worthy to accept Christ. If you're hearing this and you're feeling a quickening in your heart, like you're just feeling this message as being, you know, God drawing you to him, pray. Ask God to reveal himself to you, and he will. God says, if you seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, seek him with all your heart. I'm going to read this verse to you, and this is a beloved verse of many children. It's probably one of the first verses that we've ever memorized in Sunday school when we were like little ones. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. If you've prayed this, if you've confessed your sins, if you've told God that you believe in Jesus and that he took on the sins of the world and he rose again and he's alive and that you want to go to heaven and be with him one day. If you've prayed that, moving forward, this is what I encourage you to do. Find a good Bible-affirming church. Find a good Bible. Become part of a body of believers. Get in a small group. Make some Christian friends because they will be there to guide and direct you and disciple you. Seek discipleship from someone in the church. If you don't know of a church, I can tell you there's lots of bad churches out there. Today is sadly enough. But if you're in the Orlando-Windermere area, I'd like to encourage you to go to Family Church. Family Church in Windermere on Main Street. There we have, I think we have five campuses now. But you can find them on ourfamilychurch.com. And we would love to have you come join us. And also, I want to encourage you to start having that quiet time as we discussed all throughout this. Fill yourselves with the living water. Fill yourselves with the living water. Don't spend life spiritually parched. It's not worth it. And I'm telling you, your life, that's where the abundant life lies, is right there, is being in an abiding fellowship with God. You're abiding with Him. You are attaching yourself to Him. And I just want to close this in quick prayer, and then I'm going to let you go. And the next time we're going to talk about some, for those that are feel like they're in some type of bondage, we're going to talk about bondage and discuss Lazarus in the tomb. Okay. So Father God, I thank you for those that are listening today, Lord. And I pray if there's anyone out there that has not received your gift of grace, Lord, has not received the gift of eternal life, Lord, I pray that you'll touch their heart and that they'll do that, Lord, and that you'll draw them to you, Lord Jesus. We love you and we thank you for dying on the cross and suffering the shame and the penalty for our sins, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you for joining me. That's it, and I'll see you next time.